There's one guy, his name is the prodigal. They send him to the pigs to feed pigs because that's the only job available, minimum wage. Well, he goes to feed the pigs and he's so hungry, he's thinking, man, I'm just gonna eat the stuff that the pigs are eating. And then he realizes, what have I done? I'm with the swine. You know what the best time is to repent and return? Is before you reach the pigs. Turn around on the road.
Yo, well, I haven't gotten to the pigs yet. Oink.
Before you get to the pigs is the best time to repent and return.
Well, what you just heard was an excerpt from an Easter service at the Blaisdell Arena in Honolulu. Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. On that Easter weekend, over 23,000 people came to the arena where Pastor Wayne challenged them to live up to the full potential that God had for their lives. Imagine what you could do if you were living up to your potential. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, New Beginnings.
Let's read Isaiah 30 and verse 21 in your notes. Go. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to be guiding you because He knows what your life should be. He was with God in the beginning, the Bible says, when He designed you. So guess who knows how to unpack your life and get you to walk in the right way? The very one who's going to guide you. But He's going to use different voices, as it were. He may use a friend. He may use a circumstance, an event, a setback. But He's going to speak to you through it. Listen, He may even use a service like this to speak to you about new beginnings. I'm going to use a couple of blackboards. Is that all right? So if you could bring those boards up. And I want to show you how God has given to us potential, hope for the future. But that's what the devil's going to go after. Now, he can't steal your salvation. So let me have you write down something. You know what the greatest enemy of your soul is? You know what the most wicked tool of the enemy is against your life? It's not destruction. Here it is. It's distraction. Write that down. It's like a carnival. I gave Aaron about 40 bucks when he was about in the sixth grade because he said, Dad, my friends want me to go to the Hilo Carnival. And so I said, Mike, sure, now this is for food too now. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, he went down there, and you know how the hawkers are, and they want to sell you junk trinkets and things that break before you get home and all kinds of stuff, caramel apples and cotton candy. Well, he's just giving out money, and then he calls me up about 3 hours later, Daddy, I'm hungry. I said, I gave you tons of money, yeah, but I don't more. You see, what happens sometimes, even in the carnival of life, we have just so much here, but all of a sudden we just squander it, and we have nothing for what God had assigned it before. That's why the Holy Spirit is there to guide you. Let me just kind of show this to you. The Bible says that God will give us life and life more abundantly. He's going to promise you that. He's going to give you the joy of the Lord, Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. He'll give you influence like the salt in influence. My spelling's like my math. I round it off to the nearest letter. And a depth and a faith. I'll get it. Just be patient here. Now, then God is going to say, now I'm going to give you a pathway to your best future where all of these things are. Now, here's the road. Now, here's what happens. We start on this road, and here you are here. Now, you start moving down this road, and then all of a sudden, you see something over here. But instead of going this way, you think, ooh, maybe you say, my marriage isn't going too good, so, oh, baby. You go this way. And then you, only too late, you realize she doesn't like short Portuguese. So you come back over here. Oh, Lord, please help me now. Then you start going back over here. And then someone says, hey, we can make big bucks and fast. Oh, wow. And you go down this way and you realize that getting rich quick scheme just doesn't work. Oh, God, forgive me. And you're back here again. And then as you go down, you're walking with the Lord. You're going to church. And then some guy down here says, hey, what are you doing? You're going to church? You're going where? Church. Nobody goes church anymore. So you say, okay, I'm going to show him. And you start to go worldly. You start to do crazy things. And when you do, he switches sides. And he says, hey, what are you doing that for? I thought you was on Christian. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you come back over here. And so then you say, that's what I want to do. I just want to chill. So you go up here and realize, oh, no, I don't want to just chill. I've been made for more than that. But by the time you get down here to get back on the road, you're just plumb tired. And you're still a long ways away from all the things that God has. And you say, God, I can't become all that you created me to be. I'm just too tired. How come I'm trying my best and I still can't become the person you want me to be? Now, let me tell you how the enemy works. Remember, the greatest tool against you is not destruction. It's what? It's distraction. Now, watch this. I'm going to just take a measuring tape here, as it were, by this ribbon. And I want you to watch this. Now, you start off here, and then you say, oh, this hottie. Wow, she's quite a girl. And then think, oh, okay, she doesn't like Portuguese. And then you come over here and say, ooh, over here. Yeah, I'm going to try this get rich quick. And then that doesn't quite work out, so you come back over here. And then you say, oh, man, I'm just going to get distracted over here. Oops, that's not what I should have done. And you come back here. And then you say, oh, I'm going to try this stuff here and just see if it's medicinal or not. And then, it's not really what I should do. And then, oh, I want to go over here. And then you think, oh, man. Well, by the time you're done here, you've used up this much. Now, you're still a long ways away from what God wants you to be. You're tired. But remember, the devil's biggest tool against you is not destruction. It's what again? Okay, watch this. You've been distracted with all of these things. And you say, God, how come you don't give me the power to apprehend my potential? You know what God's going to say? You've had so much, but you've dissipated it in so many different ways. In fact, watch this. If you would have stayed obedient to Christ, if you would have just walked with Him and the Holy Spirit to guide you without turning to the left or the right, watch this. If I just took all of this out, look how long this would have been. You would have had plenty potential to become all that you wanted to be and tons left over. Do you understand how the enemy's goal is to distract you? He can't take this away, but he can get you to give it up when God has given you so much. And that's why obedience is so critical, because otherwise the enemy will get you to dissipate everything that he's given to you. Now, sometimes people say, why doesn't he just remove all of the temptations? Wouldn't that be nice to insulate me? Well, if he took away all of the temptations, even if he did, you know what will happen? The enemy will bring in others. And if he doesn't, your mind will make them up. Because you see, God doesn't want robots where when you turn to the wrong way, he shocks you from heaven. You know, you see this hottie again. Ooh, just, oh, okay. Ooh, just, oh, okay. Well, no, he doesn't want robots of obedience. He's not looking for robots. He really is looking for your heart. That's what he wants. Because when you love him and what he has for you, everything else begins to pale in comparison to the treasure of potential that he designed for you. Don't you let the enemy steal that, because he has his greatest weapon as distraction, not necessarily destruction. So write that down. And why is he wanting to get that? Because, write this next one down, because it steals the potential of a God-preferred future. Steals the potential. There's a scripture in the book of Acts that says this: repent, therefore, and return, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. There's two action points that God wants us to see from that scripture in the book of Acts. And that is this. The first is, right, would you write it down? Repent. And the second is return. What does that mean? Well, the word repent means when you get to some place, you realize that that's not the right place, that you're dissipating all the potential that God put inside of you, and you're squandering it in the carnival of life. The word repent means come to your senses and stop. Change the way you think. That's one. You've got to realize that it's wrong, but that's not enough. You can't just say, okay, so I do this. Okay, so I steal. Okay, so I do this. Okay, so I cheat. Well, understanding and catching it is one thing, but he says, repent, therefore, and what's the other one? What was it? Return. There's got to be a bias for action where you turn around and you walk the other way, where you actually turn around and get back to new beginnings. Because you see, and you can write it in order for us to become the people that God wants us to be, it's going to require new beginnings. It's going to require new beginnings. But I want you to see something with me. You know, the best time to turn around is before you go all the way to the end. You see, before you say those dumb things, before you get fired from 3 jobs and then say, okay, all right, I should change. Before you're on your 8th marriage, okay, I shouldn't call my wife those names. Before you get people to ostracize you, stop. Stop. In fact, would you write this down here? Here it is. In fact, let's read these scriptures first. Proverbs 17 says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel when? Everybody say before it breaks out. Not after. Not after you've destroyed your marriage and you're sleeping in the doghouse. And then you think, oh, before, the sooner the better. There's one guy. His name is the prodigal. He's in Luke 15. He couldn't wait for his father to die, so he just said to his dad, give me the money in case you die. So the father gives him the money. He goes and squanders it in the carnival of life. All of this money, the potential that he could have used and invested, squandered. To the point where he had no money left, and he says to his father, oh man, Dad, can I come home? He's thinking about this now, and before he actually says it to his dad, he has to get a job. They send him to the pigs to feed pigs, because that's the only job available, minimum wage. Well, he goes to feed the pigs, and he's so hungry, he's thinking, man, I'm just going to eat the stuff that the pigs are eating, because I'm just so hungry. And then he realizes, what have I done? I'm with the swine. Let's read what it says here. It's in Luke 15, verses 16 and 17. Read it with me. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. But when he came to his... Yeah, would you write down, you know what the best time is to turn, repent and return? Is before you reach the pigs. There's some of us in here that you're with the pigs already. I understand it's a good time to get a new beginning, but there's some of you on your way to the pigs. And you've already heard the Holy Spirit say, what are you doing? Turn around on the road.
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten to the pigs yet, oink.
Well, no, stop. Just to help you to remember here. Before you get to the pigs is the best time to repent and return. When? When you hit the pigs? No, it's before you get to the pigs. And God's going to speak to you. Why? Because he wants you to not waste your potential. The best time before you reach the pigs, before you destroy your marriage. It's like these 3 couples, they went to a marriage seminar. It's a Japanese couple, a Hawaiian couple, and a Portuguese couple. And they went to the restaurant after the marriage seminar, and the first couple wanted to just kind of practice. So the Japanese guy goes, hey, pass the sugar. She, oh. And the Hawaiian couple looks around, and he said, said to his wife, pass the honey. Said, oh, thank you, Kimo. Then the Porygi guy, Mano, looks around and says, hey, you can pass the kalua pig. You gotta think. The best time. Remember, God wants, not robots, He wants our hearts. And as you come back, God will give you the way to become all we're created to be. Satan wants to steal your future by distracting you. And some of you are going down distracting ways and dead end zones right now. And maybe God has orchestrated this whole service just for you to say, come back. Now, some of you say, but Wayne, what if my ribbon is tangled up because I have just gone down so many rabbit trails? There's only one person in the universe that can untangle your potential and begin to straighten it out. And it's not you. It's not buddies. It's not Lopaka's bar. It's not this or that. It's only one person, and His name is Jesus. And you see, that's what Easter is all about. When our lives were so tangled on this earth, Easter took place, and Jesus says, now come, follow me. So when do you start? Write down number three. You got to start today. Today. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. See, your future is determined by the decisions you're going to make right now. If you say, well, I'm just going to kind of shine this on, then you will have to go to the pigs. And the Lord is saying, no, just give me your tangled life and come follow me. And that's what salvation is all about. Jesus extending His hand and saying, follow me and you'll get a new beginning. In that new beginning is forgiveness of sins. In that new beginning is a new chance. In that new beginning is you receiving potential again so that you see your future fresh and say, well, I can do that. I can begin to do this. And God can turn everything around. It's never too late to start again because He will give you a future and a hope. He just says, follow me. Oh, that sounds so good. I remember when I was in California, I was actually in Bible college, and we were touring in a music group. We pulled into a gas station, and we needed to get to an older part of Los Angeles called Baldwin Park. And I said to the gas station attendant, I asked him for directions. Very unusual for a man, but I asked him for directions. I said, how do you get to Baldwin Park? He said, oh, no problem. Just go out to this street here. You go down three blocks, take a left, and you go down two blocks and take a right. You go down 3.5 blocks. It'll be a big old green sign. Don't follow that sign. Go the other way of the sign. And then you'll come to a veering left and then a veering right. Take you right onto the freeway. Third exit, there's Baldwin Park. I thought, okay. I went out, went to the very next gas station. I said, could you tell me how to get to Baldwin Park? Must have been this guy's brother. Because he started saying the very same thing again. Just then, there was a guy in an RV. He was listening to my dilemma and my confusion and all of this. And he stopped by and he said, excuse me, were you trying to find out how to get to Baldwin Park? I said, yep, but not the way these guys are telling me to do it. He said, no problem. He said, I live in Baldwin Park. I'm just getting some gas and I'm going to drive there. And if you need to get to Baldwin Park, when I leave, why don't you just follow me? I said, that's the best news I've heard all day. So when he left, all I had to do was keep my eyeball peeled on his license plate, and he took me through all of the distractions, all of the carnival shows, and he took me right to Baldwin Park. And you see, Jesus knows that there's going to be distractions because that's the enemy's tool. But instead of taking them all away, he simply says, would you come and what? Follow me. And that's the relationship that begins at times just like this, where you say, yep, I've tried it on my own and I've just messed up my potential. But Lord, if you'll take the tangled ribbon of my life and give me back a future and a hope, I'll follow you because you're the only one and you're the only way. The scripture says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, today is a day of your new beginning. You might say, well, I don't understand everything there is to understand about Christ. It's all right. Once you receive him into your heart, he gives you a new beginning. He starts untangling things along the way, and you begin to understand and see more. But it starts with you saying yes to Jesus Christ and his invitation when he says, come follow me. Say yes. And begins right here where you say, Lord, I need a new beginning. And all of heaven is waiting for you. You say, but I'm 1,000 miles away from God. Jesus will take every step to cut that distance down. He'll take every step except the last to get close to you. And then he invites you. You take the last step. He's already taken the first steps. It's called Good Friday and Easter. This next step is yours. It's to say yes to his invitation. If you never made that a decision, I want to invite you to do that today. Would you bow your heads? If you're here on this Easter morning and you've never received Jesus Christ, the Bible says, behold, this is the acceptable time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. And the Lord is saying to you, will you follow me? And if you're saying, God, I need a second chance. I need a new beginning. I need to give you the tangled mess of my life. Will you help me, please? The Lord will say, absolutely. Will you follow me? Your answer would be, yes, I will. And if that's your heart, to say, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you change me and make me the person you want me to be? Would you do that, please? If that's your heart, would you let him know right now with an uplifted hand? And in doing so, you're saying, yes, God, I want to accept your invitation to follow you. Go ahead, right now. Okay, yep, all right, okay, all right, yep, yep. Go ahead, lift them up so I can see them. Just hold them up a little bit more, yep. Okay, on the side, yep, in the front. I'm in the back, good. To my right, yeah, okay. All right, yep, see all these hands, so many, yeah. You can put your hands down. If you're making this decision for the first time, please, on your way out, get a yes packet. Ushers will have those. They'll just be waving them above their heads. And in it is a Bible and some follow-up material. It's free of charge. Just want to give it to you. It'll help you so much in your first few steps with Christ. Just say, could I have one of those? And they'll give you one. Take that and it'll help you so much. So please get a yes packet. Now let me change gears. If you're a Christian, you've received Christ, but you say, you know, Wayne, I really have been distracted. I really have, because I think what God has for me is so much more than what I'm doing right now. I'm just distracted. Jesus, will you help me? Lord, would you change my future to yours? I want to give you permission. If that's you right now, would you raise a hand and say, yep, boy, that's me. Lord, would you do that? Would you do that? And he will. He will. I'm going to lead all of us in prayer right now, and I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to ask you to follow along, repeat it after me, and you add the heart. But let this be our hearts today as we conclude. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. I repent and I return that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Come into my heart and change me. Give me a future and a hope. I will follow you. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me. So I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, thank you now so much, because that's the cry of our hearts, where we can be free from the debts, the tethers, the chains of the past, where we have squandered our potential. And without you, we're done. But with you, you'll take the tangled ribbons and pieces of our lives, the shreds, and you will give us back a future and a hope. Thank you that we can be free from that. delivered from that because of Easter morning. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. We say, hey, welcome these who made the decision to follow Christ. Welcome to the family of God.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
It's Friday! Yeah. There's a bunch of Christians out there in the Blaisdell Arena in Hawaii. And when they leave, they're going to believe that they can change the world, but the devil is going to say you can't change anything because that's because he's still stuck on Friday. But he don't know that Sunday is coming!